The title of our message today is History's Greatest Conflict. We're going to be looking today in Revelation chapter 12 at the greatest conflict that this world has ever seen. It's as if there is a veil that's been put for mankind, and God all of a sudden gave this chapter to us so we could pull back the veil and we could see what really is going on. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that in some of the politics around the world? Some of the conflicts that we see throughout the world, wouldn't you like to be able to pull back the veil and see what is really going on? I don't know that we really have that understanding. We learned after it became obvious in 9/11 that our world had radically changed. But what we didn't know is there were people behind the scenes who knew all about it. The more we learned, the more we knew that they knew these kind of things were getting ready to take place. If we could have looked behind the veil, we would have seen what we didn't know. That's what happens in Revelation chapter 12. Only it is the greatest conflict of all times. It's not World War I, it's not World War II, it's not World War III. It is the real battle that began at the beginning of history and will continue until the very end. It was spoken of in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, when he said, "And the seed of the woman," seed singular, not seeds as in a nation, but seed as in one person, "and the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head and will have his heel bruised." It's a promise of the Messiah, and it's a promise of victory. It's a promise that Satan will not win. We already know who wins. The war is done. The fight is over. All we've got to do is fight it now, because Satan was crushed at the cross and the heel of God was bruised when the nails were driven through his hand and into that tree, when the blood dripped off of that cross and down onto the ground and our sins were forgiven. It took away all of the power of the enemy. What is Satan going to do with you when you are forgiven? What is Satan going to do when he whispers in your ear and says, "You're a liar"? And you say, "But I've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. My sins have been forgiven," and it gives us a great victory. So we learn about history's greatest conflict in this chapter. We also come to the blasting of the seventh trumpet. If you've been studying Revelation with us, and you can, if you haven't been, you can go back and catch up through our app or on our website. But if you've been studying Revelation with us, you've learned that there are seven seals that are peeled back that bring forth judgments. And there are seven trumpets that are blasted that bring forth judgments. And the last three of the seven are called the three woes of the book of Revelation. An angel flew through heaven before the blasting of the fifth trumpet. Woe to the people on the earth for the results of the blasting of the final three trumpets. We saw that the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, was a demonic horde that comes out of the bottomless pit and torments men for 5 months. Tail like a scorpion, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. That's a scary looking creature. We saw the next trumpet was four angels, demonic spirits, bound at the river Euphrates, who are set free, and they are a demonically influenced army. The Euphrates River is dried up so that army can make its way to Israel, and we'll talk more about that army when we get to the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. The third woe, the final woe, is chapter 12. The trumpet is blasted in the middle of 11, but the woe is actually explained in chapter 12, which is why I wanted to cover 11 and 12, even though it's a little difficult to cover all of it, together, because I wanted us to get the feel of what the final trumpet was. So the trumpet is fired off here in verse 15. It says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" You ever wonder where Handel's Messiah got that line from? Here it is, Revelation chapter 11. "And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God in the throne fell on their faces and worshiped God." Now here's what happens when the trumpet is blasted. Rather than having the focus on earth, the focus is on heaven. And something in the seventh trumpet happens that makes a change in heaven that clicks the final gear into place, which wraps everything up. The kingdoms of our God have become the kingdoms of Christ. So there's a change that takes place. It's like what's the woe, chapter 12, is really bad. It's worse than the fifth trumpet. It's worse than the sixth trumpet. It's really bad. Some of you guys are reading ahead now. What does it mean, really bad? I want to see. Just hang on. We'll get there. But before he gets to the really bad, he wants you to know that all of this really bad is going to result in something that is the most glorious moment for this entire world. That we are moving down a tunnel. And it's been a dark tunnel as we've been moving through the tribulation period. And all of a sudden now, way down at the end of the tunnel, is a speck of light. And the light's getting bigger. And it's not an oncoming train that's going to run you over. We are going to move out of that tunnel into the most glorious time this world will ever see. The result of blasting of the trumpet brings an incredible horror on the earth, but an incredible light in heaven. So how can that be? How can you have a horrible, awful event on the earth, but an incredible day of glory in heaven? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look on. It says, we give you thanks. These are the 24 elders, right? They fall down and they worship God. We give you thanks, O Lord Almighty. Who is this Almighty One? The one who is, who was, and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reigned. We give you glory because you've taken your great power and you have reigned. Heaven has been freed. The nations were angry with you, and your wrath has come. The wrath of the Lamb has been poured out during the tribulation period. The Lamb who was slain is Jesus. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. What a scary moment for all of mankind. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. They will not be saved at that time, but it will be undeniable. No longer will there be some professor in some school standing and blaspheming God and shaking his fist, declaring that he is better than God or that God doesn't exist. It will be undeniable, and they will fall on their face before the power of the Almighty, and it will be amazing. And he says, and that you should reward. Not only is he going to judge the ungodly, but he's going to reward the servants and the prophets and the saints. Someone said, you're either a saint or you're an ain't. If you're a saint, you receive a reward. And isn't that amazing? And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. There's a reason why the temple of God is opened in heaven. We'll talk about it in a minute. And the Ark of the Covenant was seen. That's the mercy seat in heaven where the blood of Jesus was sprinkled for the forgiveness of our sins. And there was lightning, noises, thunders, earthquakes, and a great hail. So what happened that caused there to be such an incredible rejoicing in heaven at the blasting of the seventh trumpet? What a contrast. This great rejoicing up in heaven and this great horrible awfulness on earth. Chapter 12 tells us. Now, keeping that in mind, I want to give you the main players of the chapter. There are three main players in this chapter. You might want to take notes if you're not taking them. Michael makes an appearance, but he's not a main player. Michael the archangel makes an appearance. He's not the main player. There are three main ones. There's a woman, a pregnant woman. That is the nation of Israel. It is not Christian Science, which, by the way, is neither science nor Christian. And who has taught that this is speaking of them. It's not any of the cults. The kingdom of the cults loves chapter 12 in the book of Revelation. They love to say that they're the pregnant woman, and they love to say that the world that's condemning them or coming after them is the dragon. But that's not true. The woman is the nation of Israel. We'll see that in a moment. The child that she gives birth to is the Messiah, because it is from the nation of Israel that God brings forth the Messiah. God told Abram, leave the land you're in and go to the land I will show you. And as he went, God said, look at the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Your descendants are going to be more than them. And Abram was 75 years old and had no kids. And his name was Abram, which is father. People would show up and say, "What's your name?" He'd say, "Father." And they'd say, "How many kids you got?" He'd say, "None." So then through the power of the flesh, he comes up with a son, Ishmael, by the handmaiden Hagar. And God shows up after that and says, "I'm changing your name. Your name will no longer be Abram, but your name will now be Abraham. And Abraham means father of many." Now people show up and say, "What's your name?" "Father of many." "How many sons do you have?" "One." But his descendants would be like the stars of the sea. The stars of the sea. The stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. That's just putting them both together. You don't have to say it one time that way. And then God promised Abraham this: "From you will come one, the Messiah, who will," it doesn't say that, that's my little parentheses, "the Messiah. From you will come one who will bless all nations." The child the woman is pregnant with is the Messiah that's going to come from the nation of Israel. And then there's a dragon, a great red fiery dragon that we have revealed here. That is Satan. It is the devil himself. Satan was created by God as one of the three main angels in heaven. We only know three names of three angels, and it's not Michelangelo, by the way. We have Lucifer, which means son of the morning. We have Michael, who is an archangel who heads up the armies of heaven. We have Gabriel, who's the announcement angel who stands in the presence of God. Lucifer was, you know, the Bible tells us that his whole body is made of jewels. Lucifer stood in the presence of God and the glory of God. Any of you ladies have a really nice diamond on your finger? You walk outside in the sunlight and blind people with it. Cover that thing up. Can you imagine the facets on the jewels of Lucifer when he was in God's glory? And the Bible says Lucifer became proud. Pride is the original sin. And he said, "I will exalt my throne above the throne of God." Somebody came up to me when we were talking about this one service. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "You really believe that the devil was there with God and the devil thought that he was going to be greater than God?" And I told them, "I know people who think they're God and who think they're better than God. And if people think they're better than God, Satan certainly did. And Satan took a third of the host of angels with them, and they became the demonic forces." And so you have the woman, Israel, you have the child who is going to be born, Jesus, and you have the dragon who wants to destroy the child, and that is the devil. So let's pick it up. It says in verse 1, "And an event that brings joy in heaven and horror on earth." All right? So we got all that, right? Now we're ready for verse 1. How much more time do I have? Whoo! Now, a great sign appeared in heaven. We know it's a sign because it says so. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. There are several women brought up in Revelation. Later on, we're going to meet a harlot. But here is a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain and gave birth. The only other place that we find any description that is close to this is when Joseph has a dream. And he dreams that his mother and father, the sun and the moon, and the stars bow down and worship him. And he tells his dad that dream. By the way, if you dream that your mom and dad and brothers and sisters bow down to you, don't tell anybody. Let that be a secret that you know and you keep alone. Joseph told his mom and dad, and Jacob was like, "You think your mother," he knew right away what the dream meant. "You think your mother and father are going to bow down before you, your brothers?" But he kept the thing in his heart because he thought God might be doing something. Well, Jacob had his name changed. God did it often. Jacob, which means supplanter or manipulator, that's really what his name meant. How'd you like to have that name? "Hi, what's your name?" "Manipulator." "I don't think I really want to know you at all." He had his name changed from supplanter or heel catcher or manipulator to Israel, which means ruled by God. That's what Israel is, ruled by God. And he had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the birth of the nation of Israel, called by God to bring forth one who's going to change the world. And it says that this woman who represents Israel is with child, and in pain she gave birth. Israel has faced great pain and suffering, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, because they brought forth the Messiah. Joel Rosenberg, many of you guys know, he's Jewish. He's written many books. He's an author. He's been here with us on several occasions. Joel Rosenberg says, he's Jewish. He says, we are the chosen people. And he said, what you don't know is that sometimes we say to God, choose somebody else. Why'd you choose us? We've had so much suffering because you've chosen us. In great pain, they brought forth that child. There has been more hatred, more animosity, more violence towards the Jewish people than any other people on this earth over the entire time that they have been a nation. From the time they became a nation in Egypt until the very end. When I was in school in the 70s, I remember learning about the Holocaust. And I remember my teacher saying to me, never again will we allow something like this to happen. And yet today in Europe, where Jews were arrested, where they were made to wear a star of identification on their arm, where they were arrested, fed into cattle cars, taken to concentration camps, and gassed to death, 6 million of them. The same place is persecuting Jewish people again. They cannot walk down the streets and places in Europe because of the great hatred. And it's not only those in Islam that hate Israel. There's a great hatred once again for the people of Israel. It's because they're God's chosen people. God said, I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you on the palms of my hand. And even if a woman forgets her baby, ladies, you're going to forget your baby? You walk out of the house, forgot something. My baby. But God says, even if they do forget, I will never forget you, my people. And God says that he will pour out a spirit of grace and mercy on Jerusalem, and that they will weep for him as one who mourns for an only son when they look upon him who they pierced, God, whom they pierced in Jerusalem. When did they pierce God in Jerusalem? And the Bible says, and all of Israel will be saved. Yes, they face great pain. Yes, they bring forth the Messiah in labor. Yes, they have made themselves a giant target on this earth because they have brought the Messiah and the enemy wants to destroy them. But God, as we're going to see, is going to preserve the people of Israel. They're going to make it to the very end. And so with great pain, she brings forth this child. And another sign appeared in heaven. You got a pregnant woman crying out in great pain and giving birth. That's the sign. What a vision. In your vision, you see a woman and she's pregnant. She falls down on the ground, gives birth to a baby. What a vision. And another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the dragon we know is Satan. We're going to be told that in a moment. The 7 heads and the 10 horns we'll talk about a little later on. They are world governments that the devil has worked through. We'll get that again in 14. We'll get it again in 17. So kind of put that off for a little while. The dragon is who we want to look at today, but this is the one that has 7 heads and 10 horns. The 7 heads are nations. The 10 horns are individuals that rule. Again, we'll catch up with it later. And it says, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. This is Satan the dragon persuading 1/3 of the angels to fall. These are the demonic hosts. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth and devour her child as soon as he was born. Herod killed the babies in Bethlehem because he wanted to destroy the child who was born. The Pharaoh of Egypt tried to destroy all the male children of Israel because he wanted to assimilate the people of Israel into the Egyptian people. Don't you think Satan was behind that? And in the great Holocaust, the final solution of Hitler was to destroy every Jew on the earth. That was his goal. That was his final solution, to completely wipe them out. Tell me that that is not demonically induced. And she bore a male child, it says, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and was ascended up into heaven. And so the child gave birth, did its job, and went to heaven, the Messiah. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. God prepares a place for Israel in the wilderness that he's going to keep her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, roughly 3.5 years. For the last 3.5 year period, the second half of the tribulation period, called the Great Tribulation period, God is going to protect the nation of Israel supernaturally. There are a group of people today, it's called replacement theology. They believe that God's not working with Israel at all. The fact that God said in the last days he was going to bring Israel back into the land, and the fact that that's happened, they say that's a coincidence. That's quite a coincidence. Never before has there been a nation lost its land and became a nation again. God said it was going to happen, and it's happened. God not only hasn't rejected the people of Israel, God will protect them in a special place during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, so the devil will not be able to destroy them. So the beginning of the trumpet that sounded tells us of this conflict that's been going on from the beginning of time. The nation of Israel, the birth of the Messiah, and the dragon trying to destroy him. Now we get to our event. Verse 7. This is the blasting of the last trumpet. And war broke out in heaven. What? War broke out in heaven? We've heard of war on earth. Have you even thought of such a thing? Have you even comprehended such a thing? A war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Michael and Lucifer go at it with their armies. I see a red dragon with its wings and red demonic spirits fighting against the angelic spirits, and I see a great conflict in heaven that was absolutely amazing. What I love about this is it's not Jesus that defeats Satan. Satan is a great deceiver, and he wants you to think that he is the antithesis of God, that he is the opposite of God, that you have God and you have the devil, and they are the same. Woo, woo, who's going to win? God or the devil? God or the devil? But God has no opposite. How can God Almighty have an opposite? The opposite of the dragon, he don't like this, is Michael the archangel, who's been standing around in heaven saying, can I get him now? Jesus is like, not yet. How about now? Not yet. How about now? Not yet. Finally, the seventh trumpet blasts, and Michael stands back and pulls out his sword, and he says, let's go, boys. And they are off, and there's a war in heaven. It says in verse 8, there's no suspense here, by the way. It doesn't build up. It just tells us right away the outcome. But they did not prevail. The dragon and his army did not prevail. But they did not prevail. But they did not prevail. We know who wins. We have spoiler alert. This is the ultimate spoiler alert. We win in the end. We've read the back of the book. They do not prevail. They will not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. You want to know why heaven's rejoicing? Because Satan and his demonic spirits can no longer have access up into heaven. What an awful thing it must be, even now, for Satan to go before the throne and accuse us day and night before God. What an awful thing it must be for the angels to see the demonic spirits having access up into heaven. Now, I don't know why. I've heard people say they know why, but I've listened to their explanation. They don't know why. I don't know why God allows them access into heaven, but God does. It says the sons of God were numbered before God, and Lucifer was numbered among them in Job. And in other places, we speak of Satan being in heaven. But now, there's no longer a place found for him. Can you imagine why heaven's rejoicing at all? Hallelujah. Literally, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan's out of here. He no longer is here in heaven. The kingdoms of our God of the world have become the kingdoms of our God. Things are being wrapped up. The trumpet has blasted, and there has been a war, and Satan is gone. So the great dragon, verse 9, was cast out. Here we're told who he is, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Satan is a deceiver. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, the father of lies. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. And he's deceived the entire world. He's deceived them with false religions. Take every other religion in the world. I don't care which one it is. And they are a religion of works. You must do this in order to do that. You must do this in order to gain nirvana. You must do this in order to gain whatever. And so he has deceived the world through Hinduism. He has deceived the world through Buddhism. He has deceived the world through false religions. I've been watching, I think it's The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, right? Basically because there's nothing else on TV to watch and I'm somewhat interested. Goes to places where there's Hindus. Talks about the beauty of Hinduism and the positive of Hinduism. Do you know that there is more hatred and destruction that comes through Hinduism than perhaps any other world religion? Because if you are reincarnated as someone who is blind, it's because you did something wicked in the lifetime before. If you're reincarnated as a lower person, they're very racist. If you're reincarnated as one of the untouchables, well, they're untouchable because they've been reincarnated that way. You're barely above a cockroach to them. And so they reject them. It's funny they don't talk about it in those shows. The world has been deceived. There's a lot of consequences that come to worshiping cattle instead of eating cattle. There's a lot of consequences that come to worshiping rats instead of killing them and driving them out. There's starvation. There is disease because of the things that they worship. Not only does Satan deceive through world religions, but Satan deceives through probably the greatest lie ever. The Bible says that in the last days, there will be a lie that man will believe. It's the lie. I think the lie is evolution. We were not created. We are just here. We have evolved. And how powerful is evolution? How strong is that machine of natural selection that it has brought us here? Look at us. In all of our glory, with our minds and our bodies, and all that we achieve, and all of it happened by the power of natural selection. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it takes to believe in creation. Because in evolution, it just happened. You walk out into the wilderness, and you find a computer, and you go, look at what natural selection did. Oh, it's an apple. You know there's a creator. You can take us in all that we are and say it just happened, that we were once a salamander that crawled out of the mud with a freckle on our head, turned into an eye. Be glad it was on your head. There is absolutely no proof for evolution. None. If you ask someone, can you give me a proof for evolution? There's supposedly 10 proofs of evolution. Look them up later on today. If you have some time sitting down in front of your computer, look up 10 proofs of evolution. Every one of them could also be proof of creation. Similarity between animals. Well, if there's one creator, there's going to be similar. One painter paints pictures that are similar to another one. And so on and so forth. What they call proof is nothing more than adaptation. God created animals, humans, with the ability to adapt to their environment. If someone from Minnesota, any of you guys here from Minnesota? You guys, I know there are. You guys come to Tucson in the wintertime, and you see us in our coats, and we're all bundled up, and you're in shorts and a t-shirt, and you're like, what's wrong with you, pansy? Yeah, well, be around here when it's 110 degrees, and we'll see how you feel. You'd be like, how can you stand this heat? It's so hot. Because you've adapted to the cold. It happens. Animals that are in the cold grow thicker furs. Animals that are in the heat have thinner furs. That has been called the mechanism of evolution. That's nothing more than God allowing animals to adapt to their environment. We can change animals by breeding them. People do it all the time. Look at horses. Look at dogs. People breed beautiful dogs. Some of you guys have those beautiful dogs. People also breed ugly dogs. Why they breed ugly dogs, who knows? Look at this ugly dog I bred. Whoa, I don't ever want to see that dog again. But you would never find that dog in nature. What you've done through genetics and through breeding would not happen naturally. If you left dogs alone now, they would go back to what they were in the beginning, because things don't go from chaos to order. They go from, is that right? Yeah, things will go, they go from order to disorder or to chaos. So there's a great lie out there and people are believing it. And it is one of the reasons people will turn away from God in the end. And he is the deceiver, and he's deceived all of the nations. It goes on to say here, who deceives the whole world, who was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Now that's why earth says a drag. That's why this is the final woe, because out of heaven, rejoice, onto earth, oh no. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now in heaven, right, hell, heaven celebration, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Not by pleading the blood over people. When you're demonically influenced, I don't have any power to go over you, and I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. It's talking about your sins have been forgiven. And if your sins have been forgiven, what can Satan do to you? His power has been broken because you have the righteousness of Christ on you. And the word of our testimony, that's how we overcome the enemy. We win people to Christ by telling our story. That's your testimony. You might say, well, I don't have an exciting story. Well, neither do I. But there's power in my testimony, and there's power in your testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even till death. We aren't to love our lives until death. Some people love their lives instead of God. So afraid to die. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to hasten the day of my death. But when it's time for me to go, I'm ready to go. I just don't want it to be slow and painful. I want, my perfect death would be to look up and see GMC, boom, gone. It'd be my perfect death. Not loving your life until death. They didn't love their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, rejoicing in heaven. Why? Satan ain't there no more. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and all who dwell in them, but woe. This is the final and third woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down and having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. So the earth is in its final woe because Satan comes down with his fury. He knows he's only got 3.5 years left. He realizes that he's lost. He is not able to defeat Michael. And so he comes down on this earth with great fury. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth, verse 13, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Satan turns to Israel. When he comes down, he wants to destroy her. He's like, I might not have been able to defeat Michael, but I will wipe out these people. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle. Some people find America here. We're the eagle. Proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free, right? I don't know whether this is America or not. I kind of would like it to be, right? I'd like it to be us, that our plan by God would be to take Israel and bring her into the wilderness and protect her. I don't know, though. Probably wishful thinking. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for times and a half from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. Daniel 9 says, and the end shall be with the flood. And Satan tries to devour the woman one last chance. She's been taken by God and protected. And now a flood comes from Satan, from the serpent, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus before the beginning of the tribulation period, you will be kept from that hour of testing to come upon the whole earth. You will be caught up with the Lord to be with Him and forever be with the Lord. And then a lot of people during the tribulation period are going to get saved. There's a great number of them in heaven, a revival. And these people, I commend them. They might not believe before the tribulation period, but there's a large number who believe afterwards. Satan, when he can't get to Israel, turns to the tribulation saint, and he wants to attack them, and many of them will lose their lives. I'd like to say at the end of this study, but don't feel sorry for them, but they do fall under the wrath of the dragon. So maybe we should feel sorry for them. But they who give the ultimate sacrifice to Jesus and take the fierceness of the dragon will receive the greatest reward of all. God will give them a great reward for what they have done in giving their lives. If by chance you're in these studies, you don't commit your life to Christ, and you find yourself in the tribulation period and you give your life to Him, you know the difficult row you have to hoe. You know it's going to be tough, but God will be with you and reward you. What a picture. The greatest conflict in all of history. Heaven rejoices because the devil is cast out, but the greatest and final and worst woe, Satan comes down to this earth with great fury, and what this earth will experience during the last 3.5 years is absolutely unspeakable. Stand up with me and let's pray.